When I think of the title, Once in Blockadia, I got to think there's a little bit of a nod to Cascadia in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell us why.
I had a couple things in there. Well, two things. The first time I thought of the title was actually looking at some of my old John Berger books. And so he had a book called Once in Europa. And it's just kind of a wistful book, as much as a lot of his writing at that time was, about peasant life and the kind of politics, the kind of almost inherent organic socialism of people who had lived on the land for millennia in Europe. So I liked that title. And so I thought, okay, that's where I come from, Once in Blockadia. But then right away I thought, oh yeah, Cascadia, it makes sense. So why did that matter to me? Well, this is all about place. I feel incredibly located. I feel related to this place, this land. And then by saying this place is land, well, what is that? If you look at it in kind of environmental, ecological terms, bioregional terms, that's what it is. It's something about the climate, the kinds of trees that grow here, the mountains, the ocean, the rivers running down in them. That's where I grew up and my parents grew up. So as I move up and down through Cascadia, this all feels like, yeah, that's what the world is to me.
It's my country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And the same feeling in Oregon.
Totally.
We're going through a dug fir forest down there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So up and on the coast, I definitely mean Northern California to Northern BC. It just feels like, okay, that's where I that's what I inhabit. And that's what makes sense to me as a place in the world. So yeah, the Once in Blockadia, the blockade there is about stopping these projects that are trying to pierce into Cascadia and through Cascadia to the ocean.
As we learned at one of the festivals, all the dirty oil or dirty fossil fuel is in the middle of this continent, and all the buyers are on another continent west of here, so we're in the middle of it.
Exactly. It wants to get across Cascadia all the time. Right. So that means one thing. And the other thing I'm always totally aware of when I'm thinking both in terms of my own personal relationship to, this is the space that I grew up in, I live in, and that I love. I love it as a biome. And Cascadia is makes sense in terms of a term I like, so prefer to the national terms. But it seems I'm always very much aware that that's another way of thinking about land that is a layer on top of how Indigenous people relate to and think of this same area that we share with them. And I think it's important never to lose sight of the fact that I'm a lifelong visitor. I'm a visitor who will always, in my entire life, be a visitor to this land that I love and I feel attached to, organically part of. But I think it's important and valuable, I find, in fact, it's always, because it increases this care with which you inhabit and walk upon that land, right? If we always thought of ourselves as visitors and behaved as good guests, we'd be a lot better off.
And not as rock stars ripping up hotel rooms.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, a visitor, you want to leave a good impression. You're only going to be there once, so you want them to think decently of you.
Yeah.
Let's read some of this. Mm-hmm. Page 17. You want to use my
sure, sure.
Yeah, page, yeah, sure. Page 17, which illustrates the undertrope that was referenced in the very court documents.
Exactly. So, I start with a long quotation at the beginning of the book from the court documents. And it's kind of a cheeky way of getting this high-paid oil company lawyer to write my preface for me. Just quote him quoting me at length.
To protect that $5.4 million that they were after.
Exactly. I gave a copy of this book to my lawyers, and they were like, oh, we should show it to Cap when they know the other guy, the oil company lawyer. And I'm like, I don't know if you should show him this book. That's a good idea. But yeah, he came up with that great line, right? That underneath the poetry is a description of how the barricade was made, the blockade was made, or the constructed, or something like that. And, right away I hear, like, May 68, sous le pave la plage, under the paving stones, the beach.
I think you have that line in the...
It is in there somewhere. Yeah. So anyway, here's, the first thinking through of that line that the lawyer gave me. Blockadia. Beneath the poetry, the barricade. Beneath sandstorms, digital trading. Beneath ourselves, the ones we have been waiting for. Beneath our allies, manufactured enemies. Beneath casual parks, formal profits. Beneath the review process, other possible futures, beneath resignation, new uplift, beneath deals, betrayal, beneath the singularity of owning, the multitude of needing, beneath the human voice, the systemic response, beneath government, real abstractions, beneath a trial and error, beneath graft assessments, the particularity of soils, beneath media, the feel of our hands, beneath the outflow of resources, the influx of commodities, beneath the right to exclude, the right not to be excluded, beneath the drill platform, the mountain, beneath litigants, lovers, beneath bees, little rockets.
I can't help but think of Michael McClure's use of the word substrate.
Yeah.
What's in the substrate?
Absolutely. I mean, because it's so rich, isn't it? Because in some ways, everything's in the substrate. We're headed to the substrate. We came from it. We go back to it, probably psychically as much as physically, materially.
Yeah.